Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
It's on, and we are joined in the studio by Liam White and Daniel Leamy, who are both running for the position of president. Currently, Daniel Leamy is the executive's financial and strategy officer, and Liam White is the sitting president. So there's going to be a very interesting election to see who takes out the top spot. Good morning to you both. How are we feeling?
Morning, Zach. Feeling good.
Morning, Zach. I am pumped to be in Radio 1 today.
You're very pumped to be in Radio 1?
Sure am.
That's great. It's good to have you in here, Dan. Did you come in here last year?
Yeah, I've been here a few times. To be fair, I'm not in Radio 1 nearly enough, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's the secret to winning the presidency. Just the
Radio 1 seat.
Yeah. we're the master manipulators. So the way this thing is going to be structured, there's going to be like a kind of a 20-second intro pitch, then there's going to be some general questions, and then some targeted questions, which might be a little bit more critical. In the spirit of fairness, those critical questions are for both of you. I've found areas of criticism for both of you, so that's going to work out just fine. Would you like to give a 20-second introduction, and I'll give you the first introduction, Daniel?
Sweet. Kia ora, I'm Daniel Leamy. I am a third year commerce student. I have been on the executive since 2024 now. So I'm quite familiar with OUSA and everything it does, quite inside and out. I'm passionate about students because I feel like we don't get a good deal. Students in this country kind of just get slandered, and it's a symptom of a global thing, but students just get a shit deal, and I want to change that.
And your 20, I'll give you 25 seconds, Liam. I think I mistimed the timer there, so you get 25 seconds.
God, I'm a lucky boy. Kia ora, ko Liam Tokuingua. I'm the sitting OUSA president, and I'm running for re-election for 2026. My big campaign is about getting OUSA to act like a union again, so us getting out in the streets, organising, but also trying to build a relationship with students and using that to fight big fights. My big campaign promise is launching a national campaign for zero tertiary fees for every institution in this country.
Lofty goals there.
Hey, no criticism.
Lofty is, I mean, in the best way possible.
That's the benefit of being an experienced president, Zach. You can aim high.
There you go. Yesterday, the executive election forums, I asked you about your favourite president, real, fake, or from OUSA. You both said Keegan Wells. What lessons can you draw from her leadership that would make you both better potential presidents for 2026?
I think for me, Keegan's genuineness with students, she was the most down-to-earth person, I think. And not only was she a president, but she was just someone who wanted to listen to you. Leadership is obviously about talking and getting up on stage and being the face of things, but she was a listener as well. She genuinely cared. She proved what it meant to listen, and that's what I want to do.
I think for me, it's Keegan's focus on international students, actually, that I think really exemplifies her best qualities. She was an international student herself, so focusing on fairness, what is right, making sure that nobody is stuck with a horrible deal, that people are getting enough support. And as Daniel says, it's about listening, it's about fair leadership, but it's also about having a great time while you're in the office as well. I think that's a really underappreciated part, because this job, as I've known, is so much fun when you get stuck into it. And Keegan just absolutely loved every day, despite the year being quite difficult for her.
Now, also yesterday at the forums, I asked, what was the ultimate responsibility of president? Correct me if I'm wrong, both of you. Liam, you said to students.
Yep.
Daniel, you said to the OUSA exec and making sure, or to the OUSA and making sure that it thrives and floats.
Leading the executive.
Leading the executive. OUSA. Cool. Yeah. How do you think those different sort of key, central, ultimate responsibility focuses represent and reflect in your policy platforms?
Yeah, well, what I'd say to actually Liam's answer was probably a bit astounding answer. I believe the entire executive's primary role is to students, not just the president, but to the president specifically, it is to chair the executive, to lead, to make sure that, you know, we are getting shit done for students. We've only got 12 months to get stuff done. We have to really get moving early on. Sorry, where were we at again on that one? I'm glad we're on radio.
I guess I was asking how that ultimate focus about making sure OUSA continues to thrive and float, how that reflects in your policy platform.
Yeah, so my three big priorities were student housing, cost of living, and the student bar. They are the big three. These are the biggest three issues to students, I strongly believe. I've talked to a hell of a lot of students, both who I know and who I don't know, and students tell me these three issues are the ones. That's why I'm campaigning so hard on them and pretty much nothing else. It's just these three.
Yeah. Liam?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a good answer when Daniel copies it. I do ultimately think that the president and the entirety of OUSA is responsible to the student body. There is no association like OUSA, and our whole primary purpose has to be delivering change for the student body. And Daniel's right, it's whatever they need in the moment. So he's correctly identifying student housing. That's been a big push for me this year. Cost of living, I've focused more on increased government support that we've lost over the last couple of years, which fees-free actually is. We had fees-free from 1960 to 1990 in this country. And then the other thing is actually being brave enough to acknowledge that OUSA doesn't always reflect the interests of the student body, and that you have to be both an advocate at university council and to grant, but also in our own green walls as well. And that's not a criticism of OUSA, it's just sort of a reflection that it is an institution and it does need to be checked, and I think that's the executive's role.
Do you think that the issues students are facing at the moment are more permanent problems than ones that might have kind of focused in or came in year out, year in the past?
I mean, we're in year three of a pretty deep economic recession, so that is, I think, exacerbating a lot of the student poverty that we're seeing, and we've seen it for a long time. When I came in as polls rep, even then in 2023, I ran on a platform of cost of living, and it's kind of disappointing that I'm still there, you know, that very little has been done by governments or political parties by over the last couple of years. I think as well that we can't deal with student issues without challenging the structure. It is tertiary education funding. It is funding towards student support services. But also the for-profit motive of universities now. I think that drives a churn students, bums in seats model rather than a genuine holistic approach to learning. So that's what I see. Is I agree that I think it is structural, but I think the current economic circumstances are exacerbating a lot of those factors.
Daniel?
Yeah, the word exacerbate is definitely the one for me. Is, look, student poverty has always been a thing. I think I said it to staff a few months ago. Students have always been broke. It's just now more than ever in this cost of living crisis. Students just cannot afford the basics outright. And that's what it is for me. And it's been like this for, I'm a third year student. I've been at university for 3 years, and the cost of living crisis has been going for about 3 years. So I haven't seen a university experience yet outside of a cost of living crisis, but to my best knowledge, from older siblings to my parents to everybody I talk to, students have always been poor. Students have always been like, how the fuck am I going to pay the bills this week? Mm. It's just now more than ever, we just cannot afford anything.
I think I saw something on the news about some reports of student homelessness in New Zealand. Yeah, it's
that was
it's
this
real.
Guy raising it as an issue. Okay. no, but genuinely, like I do have a couple of mates of mine who are genuinely living in vans.
Yeah,
because
it's terrifying.
They just can't afford housing.
It's terrifying. Now, Liam, I'm going to dig into you a little bit. You're running on a platform of no cuts with eight other folks who are all running for different positions on the OUSA exec. Beyond a policy of no cuts, do you share anything else? Do you have any other common goals?
Yeah, so I think zero tertiary fees has been taken on very well by the other candidates. Daniel's right, we've also got a plan for the student bar that I'm not going to say because it seems he just copies all my policies. So I'm keeping that one a bit closely guarded. We were told not to dig in this morning, so I'm going to be trying to be nicer. The student bar is a big priority, and that's one that we've really called on. But it is trying to deal with those structural issues that are affecting students around funding.
Does running on a ticket of eight other people kind of risk limiting the amount of dissent you might have should you all get into the exec? You know, could that be a risk? Could there be a risk that there's a lack of critical discourse or new perspectives if you're all on the same vibe and the same party?
Having worked through the with Kamisha Troy and the other members of the ticket, what I can tell you right now is that there has been a surplus of dissent recently, and they've done a really good job of critiquing some of my older ideas of how USA elections run and trying to push us into a new era. So I actually think it's incredibly healthy. I mean, Troy yesterday said that he actually aligns more closely with Daniel than me politically, but he understands and appreciates my vision and experience and competence. So I think at the end of the day, it is understanding that, yeah, we're all elected, we've all got to keep fighting for students, and that we can do that fairly as a team, but we're aligned in vision, not necessarily on the strategy and tactics, and I think that's a very healthy place to be.
Do you think that for someone who hasn't had any experience with OUSA or the exec, who wants to run for a certain seat but sees all this politicking and these formation of these cliques, that it might be kind of exclusionary for them? It might put people who would run out of really wanting to, because they're like, well, what's the point if these people are already got their own group?
Yeah, so I think the point that I'd add is that we only formed that ticket. Again, I didn't really know any of the candidates on the list before they ran. Kamisha, the only new Kamisha, because we had a horrible interaction at the beginning of the year, because I made fun of Tramping Club for being pissheads, and she came and corrected me that actually they're trying to take a more balanced welfare approach, for which I profusely apologise. But she was really the only person that I'd met, and Ella running for Clubs and Socks. So I sort of sought out some other candidates that I thought had progressive ideas or that might share my vision for OUSA after the nominations had closed. So none of it was pre-formed. And I just genuinely am endorsing the candidates that I believe in and think would do a great job at the, on the executive.
Okay. Daniel, I'm going to dig into you for a little bit. You're one of the few voices who was vocally concerned with the exec's direction in adopting BDS due to the cost of it, i.e. missing out on certain advertisers. Now, what would your approach to BDS policy look like in 2026 if you become president?
Yep. So I spoke about this at the forum as well yesterday. When I spoke up at the SGM about a month ago now, I was there as Daniel Leamy, the OUSA Finance Strategy Officer. I was there doing my job, and I don't regret that one bit. I stood up and pretty much said, we cannot do a full hardline BDS policy. It will just cost OUSA far too much. We actually cannot afford it. We would be foregoing other stuff we do, the other great things we do, to do that. But I do fully support a where we can, if you like, BDS policy where the cost is not a lot or it's negligible. We can switch out who we're working with, if that makes sense. I'm not going to say any company names because I don't want to slander anybody. But we can do it in a way that is meaningful but also doesn't affect the association, and I think that's a win-win for everybody.
Would you continue to consult with the Palestine Solidarity Network of Aotearoa?
I would consider I would consider working with anybody who has more knowledge on the issue than me. Okay. So, yes.
In the executive meeting notes, again, this is also public knowledge, the meeting notes being on the OUSA website is crazy, but in the executive meeting notes from August 28th, there's a section about a student letter to the executive regarding the BDS SGM that you just referred to, and in that, in those meeting notes, you said in response to that letter, you feel as though special interest groups were hijacking student democracy, then you clarified that their lack of consultation was the main issue. If you get a big crowd show up to essentially protest a decision that you've made, is that not democracy in action?
I absolutely believe it is. When I said special student interest groups, that was actually more referring to a specific person that I won't name on the executive, who had a very large part in the SGM being called. And to be honest, it wasn't really for their own good. It wasn't really for the student good. I felt it was more for a personal political gain, and I still strongly believe that. And I'm pretty sure that's actually a widely held, consensus among the executive, actually.
Okay. Now, moving on from the criticism, I want to look to the local government elections, which are happening at the moment. It seems like a very useful connection to have some kind of relationships with members of local government. How will you both foster slash improve OUSA's relationship with local bodies to get better outcomes for students? And I'll start with you, Liam.
I think the first one that I'd focus on is those formal measures of consultation. So I proposed the student ward for North Dunedin and North East Valley to councillors in the OIA interviews held over on, Radio Otago. Otago Radio?
Otago
Radio. OIR. And that's been endorsed by all councillors as a great idea to improve student engagement with council. The other one that I would add is the Tertiary Precinct Planning Group, which hasn't met for 2 or 3 years and has lapped under the current council. That was a great group with funding behind it that was designed to improve or set up to improve the Tertiary Precinct. So I think those are two great ones. I think the other one, and I'm not going to say anything yet, is just seeing how particularly the mayoral elections go. So the president has a quarterly meeting with the mayor. I'd actually like to move that to monthly. I think it's also finding the councillors who resonate and understand student issues, and if they don't understand them, at least have sympathy, and engaging them and bringing them into the executive very early on. So potentially having a councillor that comes in once a month to chat with the executive about what we're seeing, or hell, even weekly if they wanted to. I think that building that town and gown relationship is so important. Because Daniel's right, students do get slandered constantly. Mm. We are not, in my opinion, we are not beer-guzzling, glass-smashing lunatics anymore. We are genuinely real people trying to struggle through our city. And I think that council has an obligation, and also, from what I've seen this election, a real interest in supporting students in local government.
And Daniel?
Yeah, I would say I fully support the North Dunedin Student Ward. It came up in discussions about whether to put it on the student charter, and the reason it wasn't put on, I believe, from memory, was that we actually thought it was going to be too hard to get across the line. Since then, a lot of candidates have promised it. So, I mean, I don't want to do any wishful thinking. I know politicians are quite good at lying and over-promising and all that stuff. I'm very aware of that, and I'm very aware I sound like a politician right now, probably in some ways. Mm. But for me, the Tertiary Precinct Planning Group was the alternative to that, and we put that on because that genuinely, as Liam said, the town and gown relationship, that really strengthened it. And in the last 3 years, I believe, under the current council regime, it's fallen to the wayside, unfortunately, and students have suffered for it. So I would push very hard to bring that back.
Mm. Lastly, before we get into your outros, I want to talk a little bit about student media, as I think it's a great little outlet to talk about whatever the exec is up to, as we're doing right now. What do you want the executive's relationship to be with Radio 1 and Critic looking to the next year, should you be president?
I think Radio 1, I think Radio 1, I would focus on trying to get an executive show. Oh my God, sorry. I try to focus on getting an executive show. I've gone through and done my Radio 1 training now, which I really enjoyed. And I think getting an opportunity where students can sort of cuddle around their radio or their computer and they can listen to the executive in our soft, dulcet tones and hear about what's happening. And I know that, Zach, you have a relationship like that with Nina, where she comes in once a week and sort of talks about what's going on. Now, I wouldn't want to talk about the executive minutes because they are not overly exciting, but I'm glad that you're reading them. but I would like to do something similar where we're talking about student issues. The other thing about Critic that is not a criticism, but I think there needs to be a healthy separation, that we should be able to get along, we should be able to go do interviews. But I think what we're seeing now is a very close relationship between the executive and Critic, which I don't believe is entirely healthy, because it's Critic's job and responsibility to hold us to account, regardless of how difficult that is. And I am going to point to Sam here, of actually somebody that I think is very good in that building relationship, but I do have a serious concern that you might get some sort of propagandist regime just because Sam is friends with so many people in Critic. But I do think he has a great relationship with students and the team here at Radio 1.
Okay, before I pass on to Daniel, I'm just going to quickly say, would you consider yourself part of that problem, considering you were on the front cover quite recently, half naked, kind of reaping some of the soft power coming from those Critic issues?
But that was me. That was them approaching me. That was not
okay.
Something that I went to them with that
okay,
idea.
True, yeah. Very fair. Daniel?
Can I just counter that? There is personal and then there's professional. I know we're in the OUSA, so the professional is only slightly professional, but I trust the people within both the executive and Critic to hold each other accountable when needed and be friends with each other when needed as well. We know what we're doing here. We know we're not just pissing around. And I actually disagree that is actually an issue that could come up in the future, or is an issue now even.
Okay.
But on the student media just front, the original question that we're getting to, I feel Radio 1 is more of an access thing. It's it's the executive coming into Radio 1, getting on air, to be honest, talking to the staff more even. That's just about getting access to students. I mean, I don't know any...
happens to me all the time.
That was a word
brain
something.
Fart.
I don't know how many students listen to Radio 1, but I feel like Radio 1 is a huge, huge, huge asset of USA, and it's a way to get out to students. There are students on the other end of this who have no idea who I am, who are listening purely just because I'm in this room, and I think that is fucking awesome as someone who's running for president. So on the Radio 1 thing, I think it's about access. It's access to students. On the Critic thing, it's more about the accountability. Sam told the entire forum yesterday that Critic was actually created as a way to hold the executive accountable. Mm. Which, come to think of it, if it wasn't for Critic, I don't know who the fuck else would be doing it, because students are way too busy studying and working and trying to fight their way through days to be like, hey, the executive's fucked up.
Yeah.
So I think that's the Critic thing for me as well. Yeah.
Fair enough. That, I think, brings us to the end of our corridor here. I want to thank you both for your time. You both have 30 seconds, and I'm going to time it to say whatever you got to say, starting with you, Daniel.
Sweet. Vote for me, because my three main priorities: student housing. I want USA to pilot a healthy homes compliance program that will make a difference in the lives of students. It will level the playing field with landlords and renters. Cost of living. I want to bring bulk discounts to students. It will literally save you money on your power bill. Student bar. I want to lobby the university hard. I'm demanding the university to give us funds for a student bar. I don't even care who owns it. I just want a student bar for students. Vote for me. Vote for change. Vote for Daniel and Sam Soppert.
Alrighty, that's your time up. Looking to you, Liam. Your 30 seconds starts now.
I think that every student should know that you deserve a union that reflects you and your interests. So for me, my priorities are being unabashedly political in the name of student interest, building a union that reflects you and actually engages with you through regular consultation, and one that really hones in on cost of living and the student bar and other ideas that matter. I have a great team in Kamisha for AVP and Troy for FSO, and I think that we, the Progress No Cuts ticket, will deliver for you.
There we go, your time is up. Thank you both for your time. Folks, that was our chat with Daniel Leamy and Liam White, who are both running for OUSA president in 2026. The voting starts next week.
Yep. Next week, Monday.
Next Monday to Thursday?
Yep.
And it's going to be via email?
Yep.
Yes, there you go. You've got all the...
A-plus for Zach.
Oh, sorry?
A-plus for Zach.
Thank you so much. I'm not even a student anymore. I still know the shit. Here's Muttonbury.
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.